Lakuta Sichas, Volume 22, the Sicha on Parshat Metzora. The title of this article, Getting to the Essence of It All. Now, in order to understand the Sicha, we're going to have to first have a glossary to go over some words and some laws. So we're going to start with the word carry. Now, literally this means chance it upon him, a mishap, an accident. It comes from the verse, among you and any man that is not pure, chance it upon him at night, mikra laila. So the word keri is from the word mikra. This refers to a nocturnal emission, which in essence speaks not specifically of nocturnal, but of an emission of semen due to a sexual arousal, be it by day with voluntary thought or at night in a dream. Now the law of this is a man who had experienced an emission of semen would become ritually impure until the evening came and he had immersed himself in a mikvah, which is a ritual body of water meeting the halachic requirements for a mikvah. The second word, zav, literally one from who flows, and it's masculine. According to Maimonides, the zav state is the disease of the male reproductive system, while the man's general health remains normal, causing semen to ooze out without stimulation, erection, or pleasure, and to be discolored and have a thin consistency. The law is, if a man observes the abnormal discharge once, he becomes impure for a single day, like one who ejaculated normal semen. If he observes the discharge twice, the full 7-day period of impurity is required. If he observes it 3 times, he is then also required to bring the specified sacrifice. The next word is nida. Literally, it means to sprinkle. It refers to the monthly menstrual cycle, in which every month the body lines the walls of the uterus in preparation for pregnancy, and then if there's no pregnancy, emits this lining. The law, she is impure for 7 days. The 7 days do not need to be clean days, and she can bleed for all 7 days as long as that it stops by sunset of the eve of the 8th night, when she will immerse herself in a mikvah. Next word, zava. Literally, one who flows a flow, and this is feminine. A case of an irregular sighting of blood, an abnormal blood discharge, not in the days of her potential menstrual cycle. The sages have different opinions on how to calculate whether the day is in a menstrual cycle, thus rendering her a nida, or the day is not in a menstrual cycle, thus rendering her a zava. The law. If she saw discharge or discharges on 1 day or on 2 consecutive days, she is deemed a zava katana. She is impure only a day for a day of seeing blood. No sacrifices need to be brought. If, however, she saw discharges on 3 consecutive days, she is deemed a zava gedoila, a big zava. She is then required to count 7 clean days, immerse in a mikvah on the 7th day, and bring a korban sacrificial offering in the holy temple on the 8th. Now, this is viewed as Abadia ben Jacob Seforno reasons that the Zava Gedoyla state is a divine consequence to alert the woman from acting in a manner comparative to Eve. This unpleasant consequence is applied by God's message to Eve in Genesis when he said, I will increase and multiply your discomfort with the 7-day waiting period intended to allow a spirit of repentance and purity to enter her will. Her bringing of a dual sacrifice, the chatat, sin offering, and ola, burnt offering, are to rectify her negative action and thought, respectively. Targum Yonathan describes the Zava state as a divine consequence to a woman who neglects the requirement to take adequate precaution involving the laws and nuances of menstrual impurity. Let's go to the next word, modern day law. Okay, not a word, a concept. Due to the destruction of the Holy Temple, and therefore the sacrificial regulations are not applicable, therefore rabbinical tradition subsequently differentiated less between the regulations of Zava and those for Nida. Later on, the sages of the Talmud and the women of Israel had instituted, in order not to confuse the blood of a Zava, either that of a small or a big Zava, and Nida, they applied all stringencies to any, every, and all blood coming from the uterus. Hence, 1. Even one drop of blood, seen only on one day. 2. Has the law of a nida and requires waiting 7 days. And 3. Has the law of a zava gedayla and needs for the 7 days to be 7 consecutive days, be clean days. Okay, that's the end of the glossary. Now, let's get to the sicha. After the parsha concludes the laws of 1, a zav, when any man has a discharge issuing from his flesh. 2, a keri, a man from whom there is a discharge of semen. 3, a nida, if a woman has a discharge, a menstrual. And 4, zava, and a woman whose flow of blood flows for many days outside of the time of her menstrual separation. The portion then concludes with 2 verses, a summary. This is the law for one who has a discharge and one from whom semen issues through which he becomes unclean, and for a woman who has a menstrual cycle, and for one who has a discharge, whether male or female, and a man who cohabitates with an unclean woman. That's the closing of the Torah portion. Now, Rashi defines the first verse to mean, of the summary, 1. This is the law for one who has a discharge. Rashi explains, a person who sees one discharge, and what is the law governing him? 2, Rashi explains, and one from whom semen issues. He is like one who has experienced a seminal emission, that he becomes unclean until evening. Now, Rashi defines the second verse to mean, and for one who has a discharge, that means, Rashi explains, someone who had seen 2 discharges and someone who has seen 3 discharges whose law is specified above. Note, in these portions, prior to the first of the 2 closing verses, there was no mention of the law of a zav who saw only one day. There was the law of seeing 2 days or 3 days. This then, according to Rashi, would be the first place this law is being told. Okay, commentaries explain that Rashi's reason for defining that this is a law for one who has a discharge, as he defines it as a person who sees one discharge, meaning that the verse is referring to its own new law, is because the next verse states, and for one who has a discharge, whether male or female, which is someone who has seen 2 discharges and someone who has seen 3 discharges. Therefore, this verse must be talking of a different one who has a discharge, and the only remaining one to be talked about is a person who sees 1 discharge. Hence, Rashi sees these 2 summary verses to be speaking of 2 different laws. The first verse of, this is the law for one who has a discharge, speaks of one from whom semen issues, which he is like one who has experienced a seminal emission, while the last verse, and for a woman who has her menstrual flow, and for the one who has a discharge, speaks of someone who has seen 2 discharges and someone who has seen 3 discharges. Now, however, this explanation of the commentaries leads us to 3 questions. 1, why does the Torah list the law of the one who has a discharge at the end of the entire portion, including after the all-inclusive verse of forewarning, I quote to you, and you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness so that they will not die on account of their uncleanness if they defile my sanctuary, which is in their midst. 2, according to this, that the verse is speaking of 2 different types of impurities, the summary verses opening of this is the law is to be turned to 2 sides. A, concerning the one who has a discharge. The this is the law is speaking of what the verse later states, one from whom semen issues, while B, concerning the and for a woman who has her menstrual flow and for one who has a discharge, the this is the law is speaking of is specified above. So these words mean 2 different things. For one case, it means following up the next verse, and then the other one, the same verse, the next statement, and then the second verse, that this is the law, refers to what he discussed in the beginning of this chapter. Now, according to this, the verse speaking of 2 different types of impurities, the order of the summary, the laws of the Zav of 2 or 3 days come after the laws of, and for a woman who has a menstrual flow, is not aligned with the order that the verse actually speaks of the laws, which is the laws of the Zav comes before the laws of one from whom semen issues, and of Nida. 3 questions. Thus, why does Rashi, who defined himself as, I have come but to explain the simple meaning of the scripture, explain it to the two categories of impurity defined in these verses as, one, zav of one day, which was until henceforth not discussed at all, and two, one who saw 2 days or 3 days, which were discussed above. Instead of simply defining them as, one, this is the law of a zav, is one who saw 2 days, and two, and for one who has a discharge, is one who saw 3 days, in which now all within the summary were as discussed above, but discussed separately, as Rashi already explained previously, 2 days is for uncleanness, and the third requires him to bring a sacrifice. Note, you may ask, if so, why is the male zav of 3 days not discussed earlier before the a man from whom there is a discharge, but is discussed later together with the female zava of 3 days? It should have been together with the male zava. The reason is that these two cases, the male zava of 3 days and the female zava of 3 days, both have the uniqueness that only they have to each bring a sacrifice in order to become pure. So we have the question, why does Rashi take this difficult understanding of that we're talking about complete different cases in which one was never discussed before? The first time it's discussed is in the summary, which is the zav of 1 day, while the other verse is talking about the zav of 2 days, the zav of 3 days, which was discussed previously. Now, explanation. Rashi is bothered by the duplicity in the language of the last verse, and a zav, his zavo. And that would be like, and a flow were his flowing. Now, it says twice. Hence, Rashi sees this phrase in itself to be speaking of two different cases of a zav, of 2 days and of 3 days. Note, this is similar to Rashi's explanation on the distinction between the 2 days and the 3 days mentioned earlier in the beginning of the portion, in which it is extrapolated from the amount of times it states the terminology of zav in the verse. And I quote you from Rashi, and its midrashic explanation, the first verse counts two of discharges and calls him unclean, as it says, a discharge from his flesh, his discharge twice, a discharge from his flesh, his discharge is unclean. Then the second verse counts out three of a discharge and calls him unclean, as it says, and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness due to his discharge one time, his flesh runs with his discharge twice, or his flesh is plugged by his discharge, that is his uncleanness, that would be the third time. Now, how is this so that in the first verse it says two times and the second verse says three times? Two are for uncleanness, and the third requires him to bring a sacrifice. So you see that Rashi does follow the extrapolation of the amount of times it says the word zav, discharge, to teach us which he's talking about. Thus, being that in the totality of our two verses of the summary, we find three times the terminology of zav, hence Rashi sees these two verses to be speaking of three different types of zav. One, this is the law of a zav, which is a person who sees one discharge. Two and three comes from the second verse, and a zav, his zava, which are the second one, someone who has seen two discharges, and the third one, someone who has seen three discharges. That could be an explanation. Explanation is now refuted. However, we have three questions here. Number one, the duplicity of the terminology and a zav his zava by our verse from the perspective of the simple meaning of the scripture is not as difficult as the one in the earlier verses in the beginning of the chapter, being that here in the summary it follows the duplicity in the terminology of the previous phrase and the menstruator in her menstruation. Upon which Rashi makes no comment, and yet here Rashi gives a far-fetched explanation for the duplicity. Then we have the second question, even if we are to say that from the perspective of the simple meaning of the scripture, our duplicity is difficult, however, Rashi's explanation is midrashic, homiletic, which is not in tune with the simple meaning at all. And the third question, and if Rashi sees this explanation as the only one possible, at least the closest Rashi can get to explaining the verse to the simple meaning, then Rashi, as he did in the earlier verses, should have clearly stated here, as he did there, and its midrashic explanation, without making it sound like this is a simple explanation. So, we're now going to find another explanation. The terminology, this is the Torah of a Zav, is all-inclusive of all types of Zav that there are. Similarly to the other time, it says, this is the Torah, the laws of, and there's talking about a burnt offering and a gift offering, in which all types of burnt offering, gift offerings, etc., are included. Therefore, Rashi explains that here, in a summary of, this is the Torah, laws of a Zav, all-inclusive of all the types of a Zav. There are all the types of a Zav mentioned, and from the more lenient of impurity status to the more stringent one, that's the order. This then explains why the verses here place the and for one who has 2 or 3 days of discharge of a male together with the or a female rather than together with where it talks about the males of, because we're going in the order from lenient to stringent, and they both have the most stringent law of having to bring a sacrifice as well. Now note, this also explains why the summary ends with, and a man who cohabitates with an unclean woman. Even though there is not the stringency of bringing a sacrifice, however, there is the even harsher stringency of being culpable of karet, which is a heavenly death. So that seems to explain it. However, if we are in the order of from the lenient to the stringent, it then becomes difficult, because listing this is the Torah law of a Zav before the and one from whom semen issues is telling us that there is a Zav category more lenient than that of the one day Zav of and one who from whom semen issues. The verse's prefix and one from whom tells us that we are speaking here too of a Zav case and not of an external emission case. Therefore, being that this tells us that there is something more lenient than the one from whom semen issues, therefore, we must say that this is the law of a Zav is not speaking of the 2 days Zav, which is not more lenient than the Zav of and one from whose semen issues. Rather, we must say that this is the law of a Zav is speaking of the 1 day Zav. So now we understand why Rashi explains the first opening statement as a 1 day Zav. However, let's have some questions. From Rashi's precise wording, someone of 2 discharges and someone of 3 discharges, we see that Rashi is saying the Zav is his Zavai is speaking of 2 different categories of a Zav. However, Rashi is explaining that the summary is listing the impurities in order of from the lenient to the stringent only requires that the phrase and the Zav his Zavo be speaking of an impurity more stringent than the one from whom semen issues, and of the and the menstruator in her menstruation, but not that there are 2 different categories of a Zav within this one phrase. And if we are to say that, being that Rashi already quoted the Medrash of the difference between the 2 day and the 3 days of, hence Rashi has to list them both here in the summary. However, the 2 different categories, meaning of 2 are for uncleanness and of the 3rd requires him to bring a sacrifice, are a Midrashic extrapolation and not a whose law is specified above. According to the simple specified above, there aren't any clear different categories of law obliged or not obliged to bring a sacrifice between a 2 day or a 3 days of. And yet Rashi states here not that it has been Midrashic extrapolation, but he says whose law is specified above and not whose law is Nidreshet, homiletically extrapolated above. Explanation to this. Rashi, in the earlier verse to which he brings the Midrashic explanation to answer, is not in order to explain the homiletics of the number of terminologies of Zav that are to be found in those 2 verses. That would have been entirely a Midrashic teaching, which Rashi does not involve his commentary with. Rashi quotes only the, I quote to you from Rashi himself in Genesis, he explains what he's doing. He says, he quotes such agada that clarifies the word of the verses. Now, that's what Rashi is doing here in quoting the Medrash and explaining a question upon the simple meaning of the scriptures. What's the question? Rashi's question within the simple meaning of the verse is dealing at the onset of the laws. There are two verses, chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. And now I quote them to you. If any man has a discharge from his flesh, his discharge is unclean, and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness due to his discharge. If his flesh runs with his discharge, or if his flesh is plugged up by his discharge, that is his uncleanness. After which comes the next verse and details to the laws of the impurity of the Zav, any bedding, and so forth. Now, why do the verses separate between the and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness and the actual details of the this shall be the uncleanness, which is any bedding, with the words that he inserts in between, which is if his flesh runs, which Rashi says, which comes out clear, or his flesh is plugged up, which Rashi describes, it comes out thick and thus seals up the orifice of the member. Now, these two statements, which speak not of the uncleanness, the laws, but of different types of azov. Now, seemingly, being that it's only explaining different types of azov and not the laws of the azov, seemingly these words belong to the previous verse, reading as, if any man has a discharge from his flesh, then going on to explain, his flesh runs, or his flesh is plugged up, his discharge is unclean, then afterwards followed by the next verse, which would be reading as, and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness, and going on to give the details, any bedding, so forth and so on. The Midrashic explanation answers this question by explaining the first verse counts and calls him unclean. The second verse counts and calls him unclean, telling us that the two verses are hinting upon two different types of azov, and therefore they are separated into two different verses, in which the first verse and the second verse, in which each verse rules separately and calls him unclean. Now, where are these two categories of azov, and where are their differences alluded to in the verse? This is where Rashi explains that which is taught in the Medrash, that each term zav alludes to another seeing of discharge. Therefore, the first verse is speaking of 2 days zav, and the second verse of a 3 days zav. Thus, the Midrashic teaching Rashi brings is but to such a gada that clarifies the words of the verse, explaining what the two categories of azov the verse is simply speaking of. This is also why Rashi brings the law of the sages, 2 are for uncleanness, and 3 requires him to bring a sacrifice. Being that it is necessary in clarifies the words of the verse, being that the verse, the 15:3, the verse of 3 days of says, and this shall be the nature of his uncleanness. Now these words of the second verse, simply speaking, applies to the he is unclean verdict mentioned in the first verse. Now, the verse of 2 days zav. Hence, we must say that the laws of that first verse of the 2 days zav is unclean applies also to the zav in the second verse of 3 days zav. This is why Rashi precisely states 2 are for uncleanness and the 3rd requires him to bring a sacrifice, meaning that the 3rd day of seeing adds on a side obligation in addition to the is unclean of the 2 days. But it is not that a whole new category of is unclean is created for a 3 days of, different completely than that of the 2 days of. Therefore, when Rashi is defining our verses in the summary, and Ezov Hezavoy as speaking of 2 categories of Ezov, the 2 days and the 3 days, he states whose law is specified above, meaning that in the simple meaning of the scripture and not in the homiletic speaking, due to the separation of the specifics of the earlier verses, we are forced to say that there are 2 categories previously mentioned in the verses, and therefore both are to appear in the summary. And these 2 are outside of the category first taught here, that of someone who saw 1 day. Now, halachic insights from this. we find a wondrous halachic insight from Rashi's explanation to these verses. The content of Rashi's explanation at the end of the portion in the summary is found also in the Torat Kohanim Medrash on the verse. However, there are differences in their wording. Within these differences is hidden a deep concept and a difference between the opinion of the Torat Kohanim, which is a Medrash based upon teaching halacha, and that of Rashi, who is based upon teaching the simple meaning of the scripture. Okay, let's see what is the deep hidden concept. The Torat Kohanim's wording is, Ze Shera'a, this is one that saw, one day of seeing. Ze Shera'a, this is one that saw, the two seeings. Ze Shera'a, this is the one that saw, 3 days of seeing. Now here he uses the word Ze Shera'a, this one that saw. However, Rashi's wording is Baal, a man of two seeings, and Baal, a man of three seeings. Now, in order to understand the significance of the different wordings, let us first understand that in the Talmud, we find two methods to learning the difference between two seeings and three seeings. Well, number one, that it which is quoted by Rashi here. So Rabbi Simai says, two are for uncleanness and third requires him to bring a sacrifice. However, the Talmud states also that the rabbis, they say, they extrapolate the difference of the laws between the 2 day and the 3 day as follows. The term his issue is one omission. The term his flesh run is a second omission. And the term with his issue is a third omission. The verse thereby teaches with regard to a Zav who experienced 3 omissions that is obligated to bring an offering. Then they go on to say, from the words, or his flesh be stopped from his issue, it is his impurity. What does that mean? It explains that it is derived that one is impure even by means of part of his issue, i.e., even if he did not experience 3 omissions, hence the verse teaches with regard to a Zav who experienced 2 omissions that he renders a surface designated for lying down and a surface designated for sitting richly impure. Therefore, we see that according to the second opinion, he says that we extrapolate from the words of the verse, and when it says that it is of his flesh he stopped from his issue. It's talking about from his issue means that it was a part of the issue, a part of the 3 days, which means the 2 days. Now, the difference between these two methods of learning, the difference between two seeings and three seeings, is in two methods of how to explain the essence of a man of two seeings. Now, how does that work? A man of two seeings and a man of three seeings are different in their essence. The impurity of a man of two seeings is not the same impurity of the first two seeings of a man of three seeings. Rather, the two seeings of their own obligates the impurity of a Zav and the counting of 7 days. Now, another way to see it is, the impurity of the first two seeings of a man of three seeings are but a part of the impurity of the totality of the three seeings, and therefore they take on part of the laws of impurity of the three seeings, but they do not have laws of their own. Note, this also explains why the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel translates the words on the beginning of the chapter, the second verse, 15:2, a man when he has a discharge, so he in that translates it in Aramaic says sore 3 times. And the Targum Yonasan in his translation does not mention at all the laws of a man of two seeings. Why? Being that the impurity of a man of two seeings is a portion of a man of three seeings. It's not its own laws. Now, the halachic outcome of this, the two methods. The Mishnah states, I quote you, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda said, the case of one who saw 2 issues or 1 issue that was as copious as 2 and stopped on the second day. And on the third day, he saw another issue. Here he says that this is the argument of Beit Shammai, says he is a real Zav. But Beit Hillel says he only defiles those objects of which he sits or lies and must also go into running water, for he is exempt, but he is exempt from the sacrifice. Now, how are we going to learn that these two opinions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel have to do with what we're talking about here? You see, the outcome of the two methods of learning the difference between two seeings and three seeings leads to the two opinions upon the case of one who saw two and stopped on the second day, and on the third day he saw another, in whether the first two are attached to the third, rendering him a man of three seeings, or whether the first two are not attached to the third, which is how Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda sees the dispute between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Number one, if the impurity of a man of two seeings is not the same impurity of the first two seeings of a man of three seeings, but is a concept of a zav on its own, then he is now obligated to have seven clean days in order to get out of the concept of a two seeing zav. When he then has one clean day and then a non-clean day, he still remains in his concept of a two seeing zav, and doesn't enter into a whole new concept of a three seeing zav, unless he has a third consecutive day of seeing. However, if the impurity of a man of two seeings is but part of a man of three seeings, then he has one clean day followed by a non-clean day, is attached in becoming a man of three seeings, being that his seven clean days was only to get him out of part of a man of three seeings to begin with. This leads us back to the difference of opinion upon the essence of the two days of. Number one, the rabbis who say from his issue it is impurity, it is derived that one is impure even in means of part of his issue. This teaches that sitting ritually impure, that there's a case of a zav who experienced two emissions that renders him that the when he lies on that which he lies upon and that which he sits upon are ritually impure, meaning that a zav who experienced two emissions is but part of a man of three emissions and not a concept of its own. However, according to Rabbi Simai, he says, two are uncleanliness is defined separately, and the three requires him to bring a sacrifice is defined separately, and hence they are two different complete concepts of a zav, the concept of a zav of 2 days and the concept of a zav of 3 days. Now with this, let us now return to the deep concept hidden within the different wording of the Torah Kohanim and of Rashi. You see, the Torah Kohanim, who first brings the teaching of from his issue, meaning that part of his, a man of three emissions, therefore, since he see it as part of, therefore his wording is Zeshira'a, this one that saw, and this one that saw, and this one that saw, all the different amounts. Why? Being that we are only speaking of the amounts of seeing from the one concept of a 3 days of. There is no two different concepts, a 2 days of and a 3 days of. For a 2 days of, we just said, is extrapolated from being part of a 3 days of. However, Rashi, who first brings the teaching of Rabbi Simoi, says, two are for uncleanness and the third requires him to bring a sacrifice, which means he sees them as two completely different concepts of Azov. His wording is Baal, a man of two seeings, and Baal, a man of three seeings, being that each is a man of a concept of Azov of its own.